Last week, we got to host the teenagers from church out at our house, and we timed it so that as we were following, as we were ending, that it would be dark outside. We were going to have campfire and s'mores and those sorts of things. And as the adults were coming to pick up their kids, I was noticing how dark it really was. Around our house, we have our lights on. We have a light on the front porch, a couple by the garage doors, and they were playing laser tag out in the front yard. And it didn't take very many steps out into the darkness, and I couldn't see kids. I could see lights. I could see the lights running around out there in the dark, but I couldn't see the kids at all. And there is that old joke where you ask someone to close their eyes and pretend they're running through the forest at night. Do you know how that joke ends? You thump them in the head and say they hit a tree. I had worries that that was what one kid was going to do. But as the parents were coming and picking up their kids, one of them turned to me and said, "What's the glow out in the west?" It was, of course, the sun just barely hanging on to a little bit of light. And it was kind of like it looked like a city that was kind of in the distance. We live just outside of Rochester enough that we can see the glow of Rochester at our house. It has a glow pretty much all night long just on the edge of the horizon because it illuminates because it's a city, lit up, alive, even at night. Early in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins a section with the words, "You are." And one of the parts of that section says, "You are the light of the world." Today, we'll be diving into Jesus' teaching here. Let's pray as we get started. Lord, these words about our identity are ones that we need to remember and hold on to. Lord, you gave us those instructions, these words, so that they would guide us and help us, so that we would know how to live and follow your will. Lord, as we read through your verses today, we pray, Lord, that our lights would shine and that we would understand more deeply what you've called us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus, in this section, talks about us being the light of the world. And he uses a couple of illustrations. I will sort of summarize them as saying that we are to illumine your neighborhood. Illumine your neighborhood. Here's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." These two examples, metaphors for being a light of the world are ones that we need to dive into just a little bit. The first one has to do with being a town or a city on a hill. I don't know that we can really appreciate the importance of what Jesus is saying here because we live in a world with electricity. I have lights on my house. You have lights on your house. There are street lights. There are roads and headlights for people driving down the highway. In Jesus' time, of course, there wasn't any of those sorts of lights. It was dark, incredibly dark. And it wouldn't take very much illumination for a light to be seen in the distance. How much more true for a city on a hill, a place with many lights and candles, a place illuminated. The Jewish people believed that they were a light for the world, that Jerusalem was a city on a hill that would illuminate for the world around them. In fact, that's exactly how the temple looked at night. The temple was surrounded by fires all through the night so that anyone who was outside of the city could look and see the illuminated temple there on top of the hill. Jesus doesn't refer to Jerusalem or the temple or the law as being the light of the world. He says, "You are. You are the light of the world."
you. Not something, not some place, not some rule or law, but you. A city on a hill can't hide itself. It cannot hide from the eyes of the people around them. So that those who are out in the dark countryside can see that city there illuminated. The second illustration has to do with a lamp that's put on a stand. Jesus goes on to talk about how you don't hide a lamp under a basket, but instead you put it on its stand, a pedestal, so that everyone in the house has light. What these two illustrations, these metaphors, share in common is that the light is elevated. It is visible. It isn't hidden from other people's sight. The city on a hill is elevated by its very nature. It's the way it was built. The lamp on a stand, it's elevated because of its purpose. We who believe in Jesus, we are a light for the world. We are a light by our very nature. We who believe in Jesus have the Holy Spirit inside of us, leading and guiding us, so that the world might see who we are. But we are also a light that is visible and elevated for others to see based on a purpose. God wants us to reveal our good works, our light, for a purpose that we'll see in just a moment. But I want you to notice, too, how the audiences are different. Those who see the light. The city on a hill illuminates for the world outside to see. For miles and miles and miles in every direction, the city on the hill is visible. But a lamp illuminates just those in a house, just those within a family relationship. Our Christian lives can be visible to many people around us, whether they are visible far, far away throughout the whole world, or whether they're visible just within our own home or our neighborhood with those that we live near. God's purpose in us being the light of the world is not merely that we have our light broadcast far away, but so that those who live in darkness might see. Whether they live in our own home, or they live in our block, whether they live in our town, God calls on us to illuminate their world with good deeds. For many of us, the audience, those who our good works are seen by, are our neighbors. Those who live near us, around us, and interact with us on a regular basis. God calls on us to illuminate those who live around in our neighborhood and in our community. Oswald Chambers, regarding the followers of Jesus, says this: his or her confession of Jesus Christ is not to be in secret, but glaringly public. Chambers is drawing out from these verses that the purpose of our confession of Christ, the purpose of our faith in him, is not something that we might hide. We cannot conceal it. We cannot be honestly and authentically Christian and do so under a bushel. We cannot do it by hiding the light. An authentic, earnest believer cannot be one in secret. But instead, their faith and purpose will be glaringly public. D.A. Carson, in the same way, says this: we must recognize that it is impossible to follow the norms of the kingdom in a purely private way. These kingdom norms, diligently practiced in a sinful world, constitute a major aspect of Christian witness. Our Christian faith cannot be kept under wraps. It is impossible to live as a Christian and other people not realize it. What Jesus calls us to do and the relationship he calls us to have with others will glaringly shine so that people see and recognize that we are a follower of him. Our lives illuminate the people around us so that they see who we are and they cannot avoid noticing what we do.
Years ago, a gentleman who was in one of the churches I was at, he had talked to many of his neighbors about coming to church. He'd shared with them about his faith. And over time, he began to realize that there were very few people in his neighborhood that went to church. He told me one Sunday that as he goes to church and gets in his car and drives down his driveway and along the road, that he prays that his neighbors will see him as he goes to church every single Sunday. He says, whether they want to acknowledge it or not, they know where my faith lies, because every week they see me drive to church. His faith was visible, undeniable. We illumine our neighborhoods, the people that we have contact with. And the purpose of that, as Jesus will say in this next verse, is to inspire praise to God. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The purpose of these good deeds, the purpose of this light that we give, is so that we might shine lights not for our own self-glorification, but for God's praise. That people might praise him because of what they see in us. Doing good deeds for our own glorification is not ones that really count for God's purposes. But when we can give evidence of God's goodness, when we can point other people to him, those are the purposes of our deeds, of our light that needs to shine. Just this morning, I was looking through the news, and there was some actress in Hollywood who talked about how it was difficult to be a Christian there, and yet she knew quite a few Christians there in Hollywood where she goes to church. And she made a comment about how she felt that what was needed far more than most things was Christians to be a good light, that others might see the good deeds and praise God. Our purpose is to make God shine, to put a spotlight on him, to draw other people's eyes and gaze towards the good and beautiful God who has made us. Ironically, the cross behind me is not illumined today. It's dark. Don't know what the problem is. Trustees, I'm sure, will handle it here shortly. But it doesn't look as pretty, does it? It's a cross. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But the light illumines it, makes it stand out and glow, makes it more discernible. Our good deeds are meant to make God and Christ glow, be visible, be seen, so that his goodness might be recognized and his glory might be given, so that other people might see in our lives the things that God is doing so that they can see how good he is. The point is to put our eyes and gaze on him, to illuminate God, so that he might shine. God's qualities of love and holiness, truth, his mercy, his patience. God's qualities
are things that can be shown and illuminated and a spotlight put on so that people might see him and give him praise. This leads me then to our last set of verses for this morning. And they speak of the need for us to ignite faith in Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 through the first part of 16. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Paul, in these opening lines, speaks of arguing and complaining. He mentions them because they hide the light. Arguing and complaining hide the good of who we are as Christians. In a similar way to how clouds can cover the stars, arguing and complaining diminishes people's ability to see the goodness of God. The purpose is for our light to shine in a darkened world. Paul uses the word crooked to describe the world, that its ways aren't straight and true and right, that people are kind of up to no good. In a similar way, depraved is another word. It's the idea that people can't do good even when they want to at times. The world is dark, not because it's got a lack of electricity, not because it has a lack of sunlight. The world is dark because of the spiritual issues that it faces. People want to approach things in sinful ways and selfish ways and destructive ways, and that is what darkness is all about. The world turning its back on God and doing things its own way. A darkened world is pitch black. But in it, Paul says that we can illuminate. We can give it light. Paul says, as we hold out or hold on to the word of life, he's referring here to the gospel light, that the gospel shines and gives life and light to those who are around. In another place, the Bible says that we are to call others out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Our good deeds not only give God glory, but can lead people to have an understanding of who Jesus is and the gospel as well. Later this month, the Olympic torch will begin its trek from Olympia, Greece, to the home of the Winter Games in Milano, Italy. The flame will travel day and night, carried by person after person. On the dark rural roads, its light will be visible at great distance, shining like a star in a world of darkness. This passage in Philippians, Paul is likening the Christian life to a torch run, where the light bearer runs through the darkened landscape, lighting pyres to signal his progress, spreading his light to a world around. Like those ancient torchbearers of antiquity, we too are called to run a race. And our visible Christian lives should illumine the people around us, giving them light from our good works. Inspire praise to a good God who gives life so that eyes are drawn to him. And to ignite Christian faith in those who seek the light. And so if you ask what you can be for Jesus, be a light. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Your words come as a bit of a shock and a surprise. That you would call us believers to be a light for the whole world to see. Lord, the task that you call on us to do is immense. But you have given us the things that we need. The Holy Spirit to live within our lives and the gospel to be on our lips so that the world might see and know who you are. Lord, we pray that our light will shine, that we won't put it under a bushel or that it will not just be a flicker, but instead it will be a flame that is raging and bright so that there will be no confusion about who we are. There be no misunderstanding about in whom we believe, and that there would be no lacking in a good, wonderful witness so that the whole world might see and the whole world might know that you are the Savior of the world, the true light who has come from heaven. Lord Jesus, we pray that we would be good lights for you. Amen.